As much as I love this, I gotta say, it's very hard to follow the choir and Donna Harris when you're coming up. They've already said it, so again, thank you folks for this, for the wonderful gift of music. I get to hear and listen as well. I want to do one other thing to ask your indulgence this morning. As most of you know, I like to talk. And to do something in a short amount of time, it took me 6 versions to get this down to where I think I can say it without everybody getting up and leaving because the time's over. So we're going to see what will happen today. This is going to be an interesting morning. Now, what I'm doing here, and I'm hearing all these comments, and I'm just ignoring all of them. This is the last message in a series that I've called "Isn't It About Time You?" and then fill in the blank for things. And I could say that I hope you've liked them, but that's not really all there is to it. I hope you've thought about them, and I hope that you will continue to do so. And as you do so, I hope that you will see God at work in the various lives of people here and around you, and maybe even in the community. Now, you may not always agree with me with what I say, and that's all right, because I know it's a shock to any of you, but I'm not always right. I was hoping to get a little more positive response on that one, but maybe what we need to do, in addition to being students of God, is to become students of people. Because it's God's word that matters, and He knows what people need, even if we don't always want to listen. So this morning, the message is a question that's posed to you. And you can think about this. Isn't it about time you told somebody about Jesus? Isn't it about time? Why, you ask? Okay, well, now, I realize that maybe you're not a minister or a church leader or an evangelist or a member of an evangelistic team, so you'll ask, what difference can you make? A lot. A whole lot. Think of a door opening. Well, maybe a door slowly swinging uncracked. And maybe some of you, as you think about this, you still say, ah, I can't do it, but think about Moses. God called Moses to go to Pharaoh, and Moses said, you got to be kidding me. Sorry, that's a little too contemporary, I realize. Moses actually said, Exodus 4, verse 10, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. And that's the way a lot of us look at it. But listen, verse 11, the very next verse, the Lord said to Moses, who made man's mouth? And verse 12, he said, now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what to say. You see, it's not really your words. God can and will speak through you. No matter who you are, no matter what your position or the gift that you may have, you can make an impact in someone else's life, sharing your life and in it, sharing God's word, God's love, God's desire for man. This is something important and something that doesn't merely come from ministers. It's found in the scripture. We get a clear glimpse in the Old Testament. God spoke of what he desired for his people and what could happen if they would listen and respond. I think you've heard this verse before. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And while the New Testament has a lot more to say about the whole subject, this verse, I'll think, really shows God's heart. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Telling someone about Jesus is one of the most important things that any person can do for another. Now, there are two basic dimensions of sharing. I've called them propositional, which is largely the sharing of information and is important, and personal, which is largely the sharing of life, sharing what Christ is doing in your life. Now, to start real fast, propositional evangelism is important because it is necessary to share from the Bible all the information and explanation that God has given for the salvation of man. But not everyone has the gift of evangelism, so many people shy away. They feel they don't know enough, or they need to study more, or they're just not able to do that kind of sharing. And in many cases, this is not true. But relax, because that's not the subject for this morning. However, hear me clearly. If you are one of those who feels the way I just described, do two things. First, find someone who will serve as a resource for you for the more involved points of theology or scriptural presentation. Second, learn all you can. Learn all you can so that you can say, this is what I know. And if you need more, go here. Or here is someone who will talk to you. Then follow through on that. Now, the second dimension of evangelism, or of sharing Christ, is one that we can all be involved with. Personal evangelism is sharing of life and experience. It's Jesus in my life. And there's more to this type of sharing than just talking about Jesus. It's about the personal aspect of sharing how Jesus has impacted your life. But again, it's not just about simplicity. Opening a door is a simple act. But think of what possibilities can emerge. For instance, when a door opens and leads to conversation and leads to sharing, what can the effect on another person's life be then? Now, one way to show what I mean is to look at the scripture, specifically a passage from the parable called, or from the scriptures called the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils. It's in Matthew 13. It starts in verse 3 and goes 3 through 9. Just think about this in the idea of sharing and see what's here. This is what Jesus said. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But since they had no depth of soil, but since the sun rose, and they were scorched, and since they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Jesus finished, he who has ears, let him hear. Now in this parable, the seed, same seed, is sown in several different ways, on several different soils. In verse 4, we find hard ground, all the seed is devoured by the birds at once. In verse 5, we find rocky ground. There's little good soil, the seed takes root, but soon it fails. In verse 7, the seed lands among thorns. It takes root again, but it's soon overwhelmed by the thorns. In verse 8, the seed finds good soil and multiplies. If you move ahead just a little bit in the same chapter of Matthew to verse 18 and following, you'll find that Jesus explains the parable. And by the way, this is one of the very few parables in the Bible that he actually explains. But we see as we read that, that the soils are the types of men and how they respond. Here is where things begin to get important. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, a very short verse, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And while the increase is all about God, remember that, he chose to use Paul and Apollos to prepare for the increase. And he can choose to use us as well. Say, Bob and a friend watch the kids play ball. They talk about life and Jesus in life. Sue and her neighbor can talk while they take the kids to piano. They are preparing soil, sharing, planting, watering. Think again about the parable of the sower. They're different soils, just as there are different types of people in the world. Each of these has a different personality, different likes and dislikes, different fears, a different life. And all of them have a different reason to accept or reject Christ. Now, Paul, there in that 1 Corinthians, that little passage, said that God used different people to prepare for the increase that he gave. And he can use everyone, to help cultivate the soil of a person's life and to prepare them, and then he will give the increase. He can use us now, today. One person can break up the hard soil with what they do. Another person can pick up rocks, another person can pull weeds, but they don't do it from the dirt. They do it from a person's life. And none of these things, surprisingly enough, require a doctorate in biology or theology. We, you and I, can do the work of preparation. All of us can pick up a rock or pull a weed from the resistant soil of a person's life. We can cultivate that soil of a life to receive the word and to receive the Lord. How? Well, by talking about what Christ is doing in your life and what he has done. Tell about how God is at work in you. I'm not talking about the huge things like getting a job or getting a promotion or getting married or anything like that, but how he works in the daily living of life. You remember some time back there was a Peanuts cartoon when Charlie Brown was musing about life, and he said, the problem with life is it's so daily. Share the daily part. You could answer a question. Maybe someone is having coffee with you and they say to you, through all your life and all the stuff that's happened to you, how do you stay positive? What keeps you going? I hear doors opening all over the place when I hear things like that. Tell what God is doing that keeps you going. God, listen to this now, God can choose and use anyone and everyone. God can choose and use anyone and everyone. Know that there were two different men in that 1 Corinthians passage, Paul and Apollos, doing two different things. In the parable of the soil, there are four different soils in the parable of the sower. They represent broad categories, and let's just say 10,000 examples of each type of soil. That's 40,000 types of men. You're beginning to get the picture. There are a lot of people out there, each one with a different life. And that life is waiting to be cultivated, waiting to receive the seed. God is at work in the world, and we need to look around to see it. A moment ago, I said that God can choose and use anyone and everyone, and I believe he has. He has chosen us. You and me. His people. To share his word. To make disciples. To help people grow. That's what it's about. You say, why? 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is talking about why the apostles and how the apostles can share what they have done. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's how the apostles, that's where the apostles got their sharing. They had seen and heard and touched and lived with Jesus. But today, you and I who know and live with Christ, we have seen and touched and heard. We know God is at work in our lives. And we can share it with others by sharing from our lives. Events that may seem small to us are preparing the soil of someone's life. Over a cup of coffee, over lunch at McDonald's or Janet Panera Bread, over a burger at a backyard picnic, over a hot dog at a ball game, you can talk, you can share. Young people can be hanging out while they talk. You could even share Jesus while texting. Imagine that, iPhones for Christ. I don't know whether that will go over as a slogan, but anyway. On a bench in a park, on a seat at a school concert, at a lunch table, at work, you talk, you share, and the soil is being turned over, being prepared for the sowing. Your words, sharing your life, faith working in and through you. These are the things God can use to bring about his increase. Remember, God is at work in the world. We only need to look around us. Remember that. God is at work in the world. We only need to look around us. So, if he is, isn't it about time you told someone about Jesus? Isn't it about time? Like this, for example. And this is a bigger example, but I think you'll relate and get the idea. This comes from the 2010 National Championship BCS football game. Colt McCoy was the Texas quarterback. He'd enjoyed 4 years of open doors. He was the winningest quarterback in college football at the time. But in this game, which was the most important of his career, a shoulder injury on his team's fifth play from scrimmage knocked him out in the first quarter. Slam, the door went closed. Colt McCoy spent most of the game in the locker room. After the game, he said this. He gave a press conference, as people in these games do. He said, "I love this game. I've done everything I can to contribute to my team. It's unfortunate I didn't get to play. I would have given everything I had to be out there with my team. But," and he paused, "I always give God the glory. I never question why things happen the way they do. And I know that if nothing else, I'm standing on the rock." When the game and the media hype was over, and Texas lost, by the way, 37-21, a young football player approached McCoy's father, and said, "I heard your son after the game, and I have one question. What's the rock?" McCoy responded, "Well, son, we sing about it at church. Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now, would you think that came out of a question in the locker room after the national championship football game? But it did. You guys can use all sorts of things to make an impact for Christ in the life of persons. You never know what's going to change things, how it's going to be different. I have asked this morning for a couple of people to come up here and to share things with their life. What is Jesus doing in your life? Because that kind of sharing is something that is so important, can make such an impact. And Pat, because you've been so nervous, she's just so anticipating, so eager to get going, I'll let Pat Roush start.
Well, I wrote some things down for us so I didn't get off track. Yesterday, David said to me, would you share how God is working in my life? And this is what I did. Beer! Because even though I've been a teacher, an elementary principal at a school, getting up in front of all of you is fearful. So I'm going to try to get through this. God works in my life usually through his word. He's over the years, I've been in Bible studies and preaching services. I listen to good, solid preaching services on television and on radio, and I stay in God's word a lot. And so he's put that in my life, but that if you just have it put in your life, that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to share that. So I've kind of broadened my area of who I come in contact with. When we went on a cruise for Don's 60th birthday, the theme was get out there on the cruise ship. And so we need to get out there, and that's one of the things that I do. I go to Alpha's Glory. That's one of my areas of influence. And one of the things that we get to do there, because it's a faith-based organization, we get to ask the clients that come in if we can share the gospel with them. We find out where they're coming from, what they already know about the Lord, if they go to church or whatever, and then we get to share with them. My one granddaughter, Ann, and I share a granddaughter. We share several grandchildren. But my one granddaughter this week was learning Bible verses for her little group. It's a STARS group at her church. And she wanted to learn how to get around the Bible, so I was able to share with her. So sometimes people come to you just because you've shown them that you have an understanding of who God is, and they see that in your life. And so that's how God works through my life. And sometimes those scriptures that that I need at a certain time, and you've probably all experienced this, I call them God moments. When God brings you something that you need at that very moment, either through like David's preaching service or if you hear something on the radio, a song that's sung. Months ago, there was a time when I was like really concerned about all the things going on in the world. And the scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That kept coming up on my Facebook. It kept coming up on, you know, like songs and everything else. So God speaks to us. And one thing David said today was about listening and listening to being quiet and listening to when God's speaking to you and looking for him to speak to you. Thank you.
I wrote it down, too, for different reasons. What's God doing in my life today? Oh, what a good question. Truthfully, God is carrying me through some real hard days. It's kind of my toughest assignment so far in life, and that's living with and trying to be a good daughter to parents who are aging and dealing with some pretty serious chronic illnesses. I need God in that, and he's carrying me, and I appreciate your prayers along that way. But God's doing more than that. He's also given me opportunities with coworkers and with other people around me who are going through some of the same kinds of things to share with each other, to say a word affirming that God does carry us, that God's plan is bigger than this. So I appreciate not only that it's, I mean, I don't appreciate the toughness of it. I'd like something easy, God. But I appreciate the opportunity to touch other lives. God gives me those opportunities. God gives me, you know, I thought when I left the mission field that that was probably the worst thing I ever experienced. It was tough coming back to America. God used to give me some of the craziest God moments on soccer fields, in strange places with even stranger sounding names. But now he gives me God moments in checkout lines at Macy's, where a woman that had been in one of my tobacco classes revealed that she quit smoking, and we cheered. But she also revealed that she not only had lung cancer, but it had moved to her brain. She was dying. And so right there in front of Macy's customers and everybody, we had a conversation, a God moment. And I just had to ask her if she and the Lord were on good speaking terms. We didn't have very many minutes, and I don't know who all heard us, but I know she heard me. What she did with that, I don't know. God moments all over the place, at the office. We deal with a lot of things at the health department. A lot of it's pretty tough sometimes, what people are experiencing. I just see people in tragic situations. And over again, God gives me just little moments when I can say a word on his behalf, because God not only is love, but he's not surprised at what we're experiencing. And so I consider the God moments when I get a chance to say something, to maybe point somebody to the God who is love, who is able, and who cares more about their circumstances than they could ever believe. God moments all over the place. I do find that I have to be keyed into God. Oh, surely. A retired missionary is all the time, right? No. But when I am keyed into God, oh man, I see him at work. I remember his words. And sometimes I get to say a few. For me, I found that that's really why I need my morning Bible read, and I need some prayer time before I get out in the world, even out the door into the kitchen, so that I don't miss so many opportunities to say a good word about a holy God in an unholy world.
I've asked Brandon Brewer next to come, but I want to say congratulations to Linda. I thought I was going to have to print a big 6-foot sign that said, brief, brief, brief. But the problem with that, you see, is that Linda kind of looked at me as if to saying, who are you to talk? Right.
Dave called me Thursday evening and asked me to speak this morning. I asked God what to do. He gave me this, a post I put on Thursday a week ago. Just want you to read it for yourself.
You see what media can do? You don't even have to talk. And it makes a difference. The whole point, guys, is that for these three people and for a lot more out there, the little, as Linda pointed out, God moments that can occur all over the place, in the line at a shopping center, at a park, you know, who knows where. Use them. That is sharing the Lord. That is sharing Jesus with somebody. Be ready. Don't think that you have to be a theologian and have a doctorate to do it. We all can do it. Anybody else got a word? I've asked some of you and you've said, maybe later. I'm remembering that. So let's pray together now. Lord, I hope you are working in our hearts. I hope that we are ready and open to hear what you have to say and where you are going to lead us. So, Lord, here we are. Send us. In Jesus' name, help us to share his name. Amen.
Thank you, Pat and Linda, Brandon. Linda made a comment that when she left the mission field and returned here, that God opened all those doors, and that was an incredible reminder to us that we never leave the mission field. Every one of us live on the mission field, wherever you are. Your mission field may be your office, maybe a classroom, maybe your neighborhood, maybe your home, maybe your Sunday school class, maybe the grocery store you frequent on a regular basis. We're all on the mission field if you know Jesus Christ. It's not a place we go and return from. So how is he using you? What faces crossed your minds this morning as you heard these folks share their stories? What opportunities did you see more clearly? Maybe opportunities that you've repressed before, and now God has reminded you that I not only want to use you, I can use you. Because I will give you the words. It's not about our ability, it's about his ability. All he's asking is for our availability. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. So during our time of response this morning, Pastor Tom will be up the front, I'll be up the front, and I'm going to pray, and we'll stand, and we'll sing. But perhaps the response for you today is this: God, I just want to be available. Don't try to tell him the plan. Don't try to tell him the who and the where and the when and the what. Just say, God, I'll be available, and you watch him work out those details in your life. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, we just thank you for those who shared their stories already with us this morning, and for many other opportunities that are represented by the spheres of influence that each one in this room has. And God, I just pray that you'd give the courage for us to simply be available. And I pray that you'd use that availability to make incredible impact in the lives of the people around us. God, I pray during these next few moments that you'd work in hearts, that individuals might just let go and watch you work. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You stay on your feet.
Wild path.